All right, please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Inks?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Under item two, is there any public participation? All right, under item three, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Okay. Under committee reports, we're going to actually start with technology because we know Angie has a lot to share and a lot to do. So.
This could take a while.
No, I don't think it's going to.
I just wanted to share a little bit about the quote. It's a consent agenda item for you to approve. That is part of the E-rate process. So I had mentioned this last year that there was a five-year window for using or getting funds back, getting a refund for additional hardware. And this is the last year, school year 19-20, that's how E-rate operates, for us to utilize those funds. So what that quote is, it needs to be signed off on so that we can continue the process through E-rate. It's very regimented with all the rules, but we have to say that this is the one that we've chosen to go with. And then what happens is we go through a review, and they look at, this is based on our student counts with free and reduced, and they use different calculations for everything. Essentially, we should get about 48% of this back. But we don't have to go ahead with the purchase until we know that we've been approved. It is something I feel we should do. It's for switches and cabling, replacement of our wireless access points, which are 5 years old in the three buildings that we are looking at working in, which would be primary, this building, middle school, and then elementary. So I understand it is a large chunk of money, but also this all comes out of PI. And this school year, we knew that something this large might be coming and that we would have to pay it all up front in order to get the refund. So we have not spent but maybe roughly $27,000 to $30,000 out of PI, where we normally allocate $125,000 to switches, phones, devices, new devices, replacement devices, all of that. So we held back knowing that we, you know, would want to take advantage of something like this and get a refund back. So that's what that all is on there. So I just kind of wanted to give you an understanding of the funds and E-rate.
What's the typical lifespan for a switch?
I couldn't say off the top of my head, but I can tell you this. We have some that just reached their end of life in 2018 and some that will in 2020. So we're kind of at a time where it's good for us to go ahead and replace these. You know, sometimes too, Cisco will say that they're end of life, but you can continue to use them a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I think we're in a pretty good place, you know, with what we have, but also in a good place to take advantage of the refund.
Okay.
So
when you say end of life, you mean like they stop supporting it, updating it, and things
yes.
like that?
Okay. Yes.
Can I mention something about that?
Yeah.
So one of the things that Angie's been dealing with is equipment at our high school that is now reaching the end of its two-year warranty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, just some door things, and it's just a constant reminder of the importance of upkeep on everything that you have in your building and preventive maintenance. And we've learned some valuable lessons in trying to get people to come out and work on things when you really need them to be there. So we've done a good job talking about preventive maintenance, but I would, you know, we have a couple things that have really taught us that lesson within the last couple months, don't you think?
Right, as the warranty comes to an end,
yes.
For example, for high school things, you know, you need to be prepared to renew a warranty or renew support for that. Otherwise, you have to pay outright to have someone come work and fix on something or replace it.
I mean, the goal isn't as soon as it's out of warranty, it breaks and you have to fix it. That's not, that has happened with a couple of items at the high school. But it's the idea of preventive maintenance so that all of these things that you pay for can last as long as you, as long as they can.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'd like to add, Angie allowed us to go to the Neotech Conference.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I went. It was a tough drive to Cleveland.
Yeah.
But worth going. I haven't been to a conference like that in a long, long time. I was thoroughly engaged and energized and took a lot of good information and resources back to my department. Things that we have been discussing in our Together Panther time, issues that we're having, solutions are starting to present themselves because of some of the things that we learned during that time. So it was well worth going, so thank you.
Great. And Tricia Pletcher attended as well from the high school and Aaron Fulton from elementary.
About 1,000 people over the course of 2 days went to the conference.
Great, do you have anything further?
Do you want to talk about the virus or are you tired of talking about it?
Just that we did have a virus go through the district and so it's created a lot of work for us and some roadblocks to staff to get done what they need to do. You know, we're so used to having everything technology ready to go. So we are working through that and we are cleaning devices and just moving ahead the best that we can. And the staff has been great, so we really appreciate that. But we're doing okay, we're pushing through and we're getting online again.
It's been a long weekend, I'm sure. All right, well, thank you.
Sure.
All right, under instruction, we did not meet. What the instruction curriculum and instruction committee has been doing is each building has been kind of looking overall at what they're doing from a curriculum standpoint. So we've gone through all the buildings. Our next building to meet and talk about is the primary, which Mr. Morris was sick, so we had a meeting, but it was canceled. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that we're looking at this Teacher Education Academy as a possible career tech program. I know, Dana, you've had a lot of meetings, haven't gone and viewed things, and you're going to Medina Career Center to look at their program. You've been to Barberton. Just to see, get more information about it. It's for students that are geared towards becoming teachers, and it could also help train people who are interested in becoming aides, which possibly, you know, we could be training our own aides for the district. So there are some grants available that we're going to be trying to take advantage of so that it's an add-on program at no cost to the district. Is there anything else that you want to add on that?
We're doing some work with the company in Columbus for the grant writing, and there's actually a really nice grant for this type of program that we feel confident, at least in our approach. And we feel like we're giving back to the profession. Kids that are planning on going into education to become teachers, we're looking to give them a little bit of a head start. And as Jennifer mentioned, graduates of the course leave there with the certifications they need already to become educational aides. So students who are in college would already have what they need to possibly work in a high school while they're going through college, not in a high school, but in a school as an educational aide. So we're looking at the Dublin Teacher Academy, and Dublin contacted me because they are looking at athletic training and management.
Oh, great.
So she said, is there any way we can swap notes? And I said, absolutely. So we're just there talking about it. Next meeting is the 20th of March.
For you.
For me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not for curriculum instruction.
No.
And I just want to add that when we did this survey a few years ago of adding possible career tech programs, the early childhood, this teacher academy model was the fourth top choice. The other ones have already been added with the exception of pharmacy, but animal care, Copley's doing that. Cybersecurity is at Barberton. So our students already have those opportunities. So early childhood teacher academy model would open it up for our students and of course the other three schools in the compact. So I think that's all we have there. Finance.
We met a couple weeks ago, and we discussed the BWC grant, which we've it's been submitted. That would add cameras to our district, to our entire district. We haven't heard anything. It says it could take up to 12 weeks to hear, so I'm sure it's only been a couple of weeks, so we haven't heard anything about that. But that will help with our safety here. We discussed the property sale of Grill and Cornerstone. Grill is sold. It's okay, it's completely official now.
It's sold.
Okay, Grill's gone. And not gone, but it's there. And we're still waiting for the title search information on Cornerstone, so that's still an ongoing process. Substitutes. Everybody in the state, excuse me, everybody around here, everybody is having trouble with substitutes. And I thought a good point you made was the economy is so good, everybody has a job. So it's like trying to find people. So we had discussed maybe using an outside group to help us with that. And we haven't really made any decisions on that yet. The Ohio checkbook. You have like it here, so are you?
Well, we said we did,
yeah.
But I wanted to ask everybody here. We didn't have a lot of time last week or last month to ask questions or if there was anything else. I've gotten online and played. I don't know if anybody else has gotten online and looked at anything that's out there to see what your feelings were. Do you have more questions that I can ask or moving forward with it? What's the comfort level?
It seemed fairly simple. I mean, after they came and explained it, I mean, that was more information, I think, than
right
we'd ever had or I expected to get. So, I mean, it seemed simple.
I feel like they've cleared up a lot of the concerns that we had to start with. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they have solutions to those now.
I think the fact that they've already incorporated all of our data into their program. And she said it was really an easy switch,
mm-hmm.
because it's compatible. Their program is compatible with whatever we're using. I think I'm happy with it. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed.
I think you had a lot of questions that were answered.
Yeah,
especially
did.
You, because you know, I think you were more
right.
comfortable with it.
Because so. And that was just information I'd gathered from other treasurers yeah. and the concerns that they had. And it seems like they've worked through what those concerns are now, and they have fixes or workarounds or ways to deal with it.
So I guess one of the questions that we have to figure out then is how frequent would we be submitting data?
Right.
And I think that's more a question for you.
And I was going to get on, and I didn't have a chance to do this, to see how often other districts seem to do it, because I'm thinking we kind of want to be in line with mm-hmm. what everybody else is doing so it doesn't look different. I would say quarterly at least. I don't know that you'd want to wait a whole year. That seems like a long time.
It's kind of, that makes it, to me, in my opinion, makes it kind of pointless. I mean, if you're going to wait an entire year.
Right. Monthly doesn't seem horrible, but I just need to look at that and see, it doesn't seem like it's a big upload, so.
Is that something that you can do in conjunction with getting the warrants ready for the board meeting?
Should be able to. I don't know how quickly they would upload them.
Okay.
But yes, once the month is closed, then the information can go.
Okay.
But until it's closed, then you wouldn't want to send them something that's not complete.
Right.
I know, Lewis, you didn't see the presentation because you were out of town.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I talked to Pat about it. I mean, it's not like you guys have already said. I mean, I had a lot of concerns when it was first brought up, but we also didn't have a lot of information. I thought it was good. I've talked to a few other districts, kept in contact, that have it. If I'm not mistaken, I think most of them did it monthly,
mm-hmm.
Upload, but I don't quote me on it, but, and they continue to find benefit. Some of them are still struggling to pass levies, but, you know, I mean, they did it for that purpose, just to keep everybody updated. And one was the Columbus Talking Tuesday, you know, they're on it. But everybody seems to like it. So, I mean, if I'm good with it, if everybody wants to.
If you're comfortable with it, I can start doing it. We've finished February. She had the information, I believe, through December or January. I can't remember which I had sent her.
Okay. Then,
so will we provide a link?
That's what I was just going to ask. Where would it show up on our website?
We could, well, Angie's not here. I don't want to say for sure. I mean, I can put it under treasure, but that's sometimes a little difficult to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask her.
We have links on our homepage, on the top right.
Quick links.
Yeah, but I don't want to speak for her as to if there's a number that can go there. I don't know if it's limited. I'm not sure.
You should be able just to put it on there anywhere.
Yeah. Our other financial information's on our treasurer's website, so I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if we would highlight it maybe in the front somewhere that we've done it, so that, you know, right off the bat, at least it's highlighted.
In the banner to start.
Yeah, then it can just.
You know, once people get used to it.
Maybe put a picture of you on the webpage with.
No, that's okay.
Pulling a big check.
Yeah. Dana and his Acme checks.
Yeah.
Obviously, the big thing to think about is once you do it, is just double check it. I mean, that's the last thing that we want is information not correctly being portrayed on there.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like they got a lot of the kinks and. But it also sounds like if there is an issue, we can call or you can call and have it fixed and have it in the right bucket or whatever. We just want to make sure. The last thing I want is board meetings to turn into people looking at that saying, why is this? Why is that? And it's simply because, well, there's not a bucket or there's not, it wasn't correct.
There was some information that just spot checking what was out there. Not that it was wrong, but it's just labeled, their label's a little bit different than the label that we use for it.
Right.
They're both appropriate, but we may code something, and Angie's department's a perfect example. There isn't anything in the state USAS manual that says code technology to this number. So we've created a number for technology, but they might show it as something, I think their description might just be other, where we specifically use it for technology. Those are the kind of things where we've made it a little bit, for us, very specific, that their buckets, when he's talking about the buckets or their areas, just don't quite fit. Their description's going to be different.
Yeah, but their representative said that we can go in and you can go in and physically change
if, that. Yeah, if they can allow us to change those kind of headings based on what we do, then that would make all the difference in the world, really, with that.
Well, I guess my suggestion would be nothing could go up on the website until we as a board approve the financials on the second Monday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Or right after a board meeting, and then that gives you permission to put it up. That way,
that makes sense.
You're not putting it up on the first of the month, and then we vote something different later on in the month. So.
Right.
And just to dot all our I's across all our T's.
Okay.
Do you feel that you want to try it before it actually goes live?
Well, I was just thinking that we could send her some. I can send her the rest of the month's look at it. Give you guys access. You can kind of look at it and.
Okay.
See your comfort level with it, if something that jumps out at you. And then we can pick a point to go live. Maybe we go live at the end of the year, that information, so then we're sure that everything's there, everything's correct, and it's.
Or maybe by summer. You're talking about end of the school year?
School year. Okay. I'm sorry. My end of the year is the end of June.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, so once you contact her, once you send her the information, if you contact us and give us a link, I'd like to be able to look at it for a while before we talk about it again.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And the last thing we talked about was a long list of improvements, permanent improvements that we need to do. We need to kind of prioritize, but we're waiting for some numbers to come back, like roof. I don't know if we have any numbers on that yet.
The bid is tomorrow.
Okay.
10 a.m.
Okay.
Okay.
But we're.
That's the middle school roof?
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so obviously we have to prioritize these things, so obviously roofs are first and then whatever. So we talked a long time about that. We have a lot of needs. We have a lot of needs. I felt like I was in an operations committee meeting instead of finance, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that you know. So, and that's basically all we talked about. So.
Okay. Policy?
All right. We had another exciting meeting. So. It was good. Actually, I had quite a few things come through. We are approving some of the things we talked about last month.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things we talked about this month, which I think, do you want to talk about now or do you want to talk about it at the regular?
I would say let's just talk about them now. You okay with that?
That's fine.
Good. Yeah.
And maybe just highlight a few things at the board meeting if we think it's necessary.
Unless it's our same friends that are sitting here. If they're
right.
All right. It was a lengthy meeting full of a number of issues. All of them have some significance, but a couple of them we wanted to highlight. four and five on the agenda are student absences and excuses. That ties in with student attendance accounting for missing and absent children. The main summary, the main takeaway there is that schools are now required to notify a family of an absent child within 120 minutes of the start of the school day. So that's a brand new policy. So I'm saying that in a board meeting, not even certain if our secretaries are aware of the 120 minutes. Are they aware of it?
I know the high school is.
I know the primary is.
Oh, okay. So again, I think that that probably, not so much for our school district, but will make a difference in the lives of some schools in the state that may not operate under that. But if you've ever been in a building and dealt with the idea of this child is missing or this child is absent, wasn't turned in, or certainly a robo-call that goes out to a parent that says your child is absent when they're really sitting in algebra class, none of it is fun. So the state has addressed that with some new policies and procedures that have to occur.
I'm just, you know, yes. I know that goes into effect in April, but is it April 1st that
I don't know.
Aliana's alert law? Okay.
Well, isn't it House Bill 491?
That one, I believe, is.
That's, I think, March 20th.
Oh, March 20th?
That's when that bill goes into effect. So maybe the date for that's a little different.
Okay, so I guess what I'm asking.
Oh, that's a different one then.
House Bill 66.
Okay, so if it's March 20th, we're just having a first read.
But that's a different one then. If it's if it's House Bill 66, that's a different one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It should say it in that stuff right there, Dana.
Oh, this says House Bill 66, within 120 minutes of the start of school day. Yes.
But that's in a few places. That same language is in two or three of these policies.
Okay.
So schools do the right thing regardless of, you know, if that's a practice that's going to come into play and be a board policy, it's something that can happen in a school district instantly.
Right.
Yeah.
So I get, when are we doing this?
Actually, after we finished the meeting, I knew we were going through this tonight. I'm going to do like a whole policy update to the entire district because the teachers need to know some of these things as well.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So number seven's on student suspension. And I think the district has sort of moved into this area as well. It basically deals with the work that a child can do while suspended. And in the old days, when you were out of school, you were out of school. And you miss those days and those academics and that time, and your grades suffered. And we've moved to a child's ability to make up work on a suspension. So the policy basically states, if I had to make one statement about the policy, is that a teacher may not fail a student on an assignment basically because they were suspended. If that student turns it in and it's a quality work that would, you know, appear that the student was in class and did his or her work, then they can grade it accordingly. And it can't be based on the fact that they were absent or suspended. It doesn't mean that a child they can't fail on the suspension alone. If the work is not anything worthy of a passing grade, then that's a different story. But it just looked to clarify that for a teacher. So there are things in there about partial credit. There are things in there about you can't fail a child just because he or she is suspended, and you know, the idea of allowing work to be completed. Any questions about that? I think I've gotten that out to the staff already.
We've talked about it.
Yeah. The use of electronic communications equipment by students. We talked a little bit about this today. Do you want to highlight anything there?
I think that we should.
Okay.
Because it does change sort of a mindset of, yes, we wanted students to bring all of their devices, you know, to bring their cell phone because we don't have enough devices, which is still the case in our district. But what this is saying is that, you know, students that violate district procedures for use of cell phones may have their device confiscated and may be subject to discipline. And it says that the district assumes no liability if these devices are broken, lost, or stolen. So parents and students need to know this, that these things could occur if you're not following the instructions of when your cell phone is allowed to be used.
Two things there. Yeah. Some schools will choose to totally stay away from taking devices because of this reason. If they have them somewhere and they end up missing, we have run into a number of irate parents who spent a few hundred dollars on that device. Now they've asked school districts to pay for it, you know, because it was taken. So districts traditionally have not taken it. They have chosen to do other things. So that's one thing that helps us here. I think also when we went to bring your own device, we opened up our schools to the children's devices and said, bring them in, let's work with them. This is the first thing that I think is putting the brakes on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit where people have reached a lack of comfort with totally using phones and devices in school buildings. And perhaps the lawmakers are seeing some of the demise that we think is affiliated with social media and cell phone usage. And this is a step, I think, in curbing that those policies of bring them in, feel free to use them. They're an important device. So I kind of like the direction of this. I think it also gives us a way to work with our parents on letting them know this is an adult job in handling some of these things that are coming into our schools.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's important for the public to understand that these are policies that are sent to the district. A lot of them are mandatory. Some of them are discretionary. And so the ones that are discretionary, obviously, it's up to the administration and the board to make a decision as to whether this is a good fit for our district. And I think that this is...
Yeah. One of the new elements of this is it says, as long as these devices are, and it has bolded, used in compliance with building regulations. So it gives full power to the school building to use the devices as the building pleases, which could be you are not to take them to your classrooms. They are to be kept in lockers, or, you know, they are not to be used in any way, shape, or form in the school. So a child who would choose to get the phone out and text message, or they're violating building policy. We run into a lot with our parents that my child needs the phone in case there's an emergency, or they contact me after school. Again, I think that this is pulling it back in a little bit and giving the building some power over how these devices are used. I sort of see it as a good thing.
And I think it's important that this is posted inside the building.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the beginning of the school year, don't you give out a policy about using technology? Can you incorporate any of that into this? Because I was part, Amy and I did the piloting for the bringing school, you know, devices to school, and it was the next year that it was approved to do that. But our understanding, it was up to the teacher to want to use it in the classroom and use it properly.
Yeah.
We didn't have any issues, Amy and myself, but, you know, and I understand all of this, but if some of what you're talking about is in that paperwork and goes home, that might help the parents and you all also to be able to say, we sent it home.
Yeah, this will definitely be a part of our parents' lives.
Okay. I was just curious.
I think a couple things have happened. One, more devices are available for student usage than ever before. And the last few years have shown a great increase in social media influence on our kids, and so a lot of it's happening at school. I think the lawmakers are doing us a favor by saying it has to be used for building compliance, and if it's not, that probably was the rule for you guys also. Yeah.
You know, and if you didn't want to use it, you didn't have to. You could tell the kids no.
Yes.
You know, that we and I actively used it, but you know, we were learning to what we were doing.
Classroom management, right?
Says, I understand that.
It's like having a pen or a pencil. Yeah. You got to use it correctly. Yeah. Okay. And then the last one that we wanted to mention, dealt with public conduct on district property. This was a really relevant topic across the state. There have been some national studies. I'm just going to cut to the chase. We are losing officials in our country in high school sports at a rapid pace, and it's directly related to fan behavior and fan treatment of our officials. So when we come to our games and we see officials working, and we see a few things. One is we see very few young officials, and we have a tendency to see our good, loyal officials working all over the place because they can handle it and they deal with it. The ones that try the profession and have one or two bad nights with fans, they're done. Soccer is probably one of our worst ones. It certainly is in the state of Ohio and nationally. So the OHSA has begged school districts to reach out to their parents to ask them, will you please work with your community on fan behavior? And it's easy. Now, I'm not to say that I was psycho fan at one point in my life. I'll admit it.
I can't see that.
Yes, I was. So I understand it. I totally get it. But when you step back and you take a look at high school student, high school experience, friendly rival, and you look at big picture and you see how fan behavior plays a role in the development of our children, I think that that's where we need to go. So this is a public conduct policy, and I think it's long overdue, and I think that this will, I think that every gym used to have a sportsmanship code of conduct. We noticed that ours doesn't have one right now, so it's time for us to look at that and get it back up.
I think at all our gyms.
And you know what? It's the most uncomfortable thing. I've been there as a building administrator. I've had to ask some of my own parents to leave the gym. No principal or police officer wants to do that. They never want to go there. So we have to teach each other how to like yell at each other instead of the officials. I don't know how we do it, but we'll work on it.
Let's practice.
Maybe write it down. Write down what you want to say and then hold it up or
hold
something.
Up your card.
I don't know.
Can you text it?
We'll have a suggestion.
Text it.
Box. Text it.
Oh, nothing. That's in writing.
Yeah. So those are a few.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good explanation. Okay, is there anything else for policy?
No, that was it.
Okay.
I do want to say one more thing. We are part of the Summit.
We have one.
Sorry. The Summit County Business Advisory Council, and our new policy is now on our school website under the mandated policy section of the website. So we had to have it up by a particular date. So that is just our Business Advisory Council with Summit County. We are working with the local businesses in the developing of the business mindset of our students and what they need to understand entering the business world. So that's that.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Community engagement.
We had a meeting on February 19th. We covered a lot of different areas. Number one is the pole banner project. The banners are in, I believe.
The brackets. Brackets.
I was going to say, wow.
Yeah, we don't really have any artwork yet for the banners and not enough sponsors. So we managed to determine we are going to go with Power Graphics for the banners, and their price with their advertising on it is going to be $58 a banner. So if you were interested, please email me as soon as possible. And I would love to have as many sponsors as we can to sponsor all 38 of the banners. New resident visitations, I did just today receive from the county financial office the new list of residents for Norton. Unfortunately, when I wrote, I would like to have all residents from December 10 of 19 to February 10 of 19. They sent me all the residents from December of 2010, all the new residents, new purchases and transfers from 2010 until February.
Wow.
So,
did you get to all those?
Is it a telephone book or what?
It's
pretty thick.
16
huh?
pages long.
Wow.
Did they send them to you by year?
No. It's the way they list the dates is 13, December 17. So the 13th day of December of 2017. So I tried to put them in order by date. It goes by the day of the month. So I'm going to have to ask again.
Send them to me. I send them to me. I think we can manipulate that.
Okay.
I should say manipulate that. I think we can format it differently.
Good.
Is it digital?
It's digital.
Oh, then you can fix that.
There's got to be a way you can reformat.
Yeah, you can reformat.
Okay. Actually, I was just going to write her back because it took her 3.5 weeks to get that together for me. And usually it takes 3 or 4 days. So I was wondering what was taking so long.
She crashed her computer.
So I feel bad asking to do just what I asked her to do. But
if you send
it.
File,
it's okay. I'll do that. I'll do that this evening. We worked on our community engagement strategic plan goals and action steps, and we had quite a discussion about that. We also talked about a district calendar. I would like to be able to publish this and get it out by midsummer. So Dana is working with somebody, and we're actually trying to get photographs and ideas for what goes on each calendar page. And Dana is working with somebody who's going to help organize it and put it together in a calendar format. And we also talked about how we could possibly change our open houses by moving them a couple weeks later so that the teachers get to know the students and the parents a little bit better before we have them in, and we can actually address some learning goals and some school goals or building goals at each of the levels on open house day. So that's still in discussion. Our next community engagement meeting is Wednesday, March 20th. Same day you're going to be gone. And that's it.
Mr. Shader had put it out to the staff to try to think of different creative ways to make high school open house a little more engaging.
Oh, good. Kids.
So we've been having that conversation also at our level.
Great.
Song and dance.
Song and dance.
Food.
Food trucks. Mm-hmm. Showcasing.
You know, in Akron Public Schools, that's how they get their parents out. They bring food in, and they tell them, well, and the parents come. For what it's worth. Maybe they're hungrier than they are.
Well,
hey, free meal.
Food
always works.
So one last thing, you talked about the strategic plan a little bit. Over here is a middle school activity from our professional development day on Friday. We have a goal in the district of increasing our PI score by 1% yearly from 2020 through 2025. So the middle school put together every single student, and teachers met by grade level and made a prediction of, you know, where those students could go with test results based on their work with them, just to really determine the amount of work and their work with their children in order to get them to achieve this goal. And I thought it was a really strong connection and reach out to our 5-year strategic plan. So I was really proud of that group for the work that they did. It was pretty impressive. It's pretty intensive if you look at it.
I actually spoke to a teacher from middle school the other day on Friday.
Yeah.
And they said it was very eye-opening. Some of the test results, you could see some of the students, you know, they even said it would hard to believe where this student scored well and this one didn't, having them in class. You know, just knowing, seeing some of those test results, and he said it was really eye-opening to where you could probably improve.
It's very easily, specific.
But very specific, mm-hmm. where you can improve, or maybe see how some of them, like we talked about before, some of them may be fantastic in class, but may not be a test taker.
Yeah.
Something like that. He said it was very, very interesting, great information to have.
So maybe during the board meeting, I'm going to talk just briefly about district plan, but maybe you could mention that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the increase in the PI score, maybe explain just a little bit about that.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Operations. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that it for?
That's it.
Okay. right, operations.
I would say with operations, we put together the same thing, and we've talked about it with the finance. We have a long list of things that we're, oh.
No, go ahead.
No.
You're good.
No.
No, seriously, go.
People are done. I'm tired of talking.
No, go.
You talk.
Go.
Yeah. So we put together a long list of items and prioritized, and what's standing out to us is what's above our head, and that's our roofs at the middle school at NES. So that's our top priority right now, is to determine what's getting fixed, when, and how much it's going to cost. And then the other things will fall in line after that. We've mentioned dozens of items here at this meeting. Lewis, what are some of the other items that we've discussed?
Lights.
Lights, yeah.
Boilers, sidewalks, heaters.
Doors, windows.
Windows.
Gym roof.
I mean.
Gym ceiling.
Well, yeah, doors. I mean, gym lockers. Ceiling, I'm assuming mm-hmm. that's
lockers,
part of the roof.
Yeah.
Lockers. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
Technology.
Yeah.
So, and I'm, you know, technology would, yeah, fall into that as well, so.
Well, Keith asked me this morning too. The masonry class is going to start on the blockades. I don't know what you call them. The stops in front of the cafeteria at the middle school.
Good.
They're getting ready to start on
Good.
That.
Good.
Hopefully soon, because the weather's going to break.
Great.
Hopefully.
The big thing that we got to remember from operations is you mentioned roofs. Is whatever we do, whenever it is fixed, is to get on a rigorous preventative maintenance mm-hmm. program to an effort to prevent what's happening. From happening again.
Yep.
It's that bad.
It's an old. This building is old.
But you got to do preventative maintenance, and I think with finances,
yeah,
that were tight, it kind of went a little to the wayside.
It's Band-Aid after Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Well, our top priority was safety, and we did that.
Right.
So we did complete that, mm-hmm. and now we're
right.
working on physical structure.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Superintendent's recommendations?
Nothing at this time.
Okay. We have about 18 minutes.
That's good.
Okay. At this time, can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss the employment of personnel, to discuss the sale purchase of property, and discuss pending legal action?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we're now in executive session.
Mr. Inks?
Oh,
yes.
Sorry. We do have to vote on that.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. We are now in executive session. And then the regular board meeting will start at 7. Okay, executive session. Can I have a motion to adjourn the committee of whole?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Meeting's adjourned.